I don't know how political I want to get on here.
Take my money. Take it. I saw grown men were like, we stood up in an all-out start cheering on the couch.
I lost it, Jeff.
Get ready.
From movies to video games, welcome back to Marie Plays It All for the second half of our Fallout deep dive with Jeff. And I watched the last three in one chunk episodes last night, and I am pumped to talk about it. Jess, how excited are you?
I'm so excited that you now know everything and we can just get into it because I've been waiting.
I'm going to start right away. Just okay. Jump in because I know there's a lot to talk about. And I head just want to go, starting with episode 5. I know I want to ask what our favorite and least favorite episodes are. So I think this is good if we go with episode 5 and then we'll move on to episode 6. And this will be a good little transition because to me, okay, episode 5 was my least favorite episode.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. Because
I just thought it was the most dull episode. Okay. And it's because it was one of those episodes where it was a kind of like a transitional episode, switching gears. It was like Lucy and Maximus come together. We're having other people like kind of start another storyline together. So I usually find even like other TV shows that when they have those like little transition episodes, they seem to be kind of a little more like uneventful because it's more, I guess, we're focusing on the fact that these people
like
are together.
Filler.
Now we're going to, yeah, filler. Now we're going to move on to the big stuff. It's like, something big's happening when you feel that episode though.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you had any thoughts about episode 5. What about you?
I didn't mind episode 5. I believe it's in episode 5 where they finally come up to Shady Sands, right? And they have that whole conversation. Yeah, I think that's right after the bridge. For me, I really liked some of the dialogue in that section in particular, where you start questioning who's really the bad guy here. His story, because early on when I watched it, you know, people I was watching it with different people were like, you know, he's looking up at the Brotherhood of Steel, like they saved him, but did they? Like, and that's what I was like from the beginning. I was like, maybe, because he mentions early on, there's that nugget. He's like, I want to hurt the people who hurt me.
Yeah.
And you're like, who is that though? It's painting it like the Brotherhood helped you, like he's a hero, but like, were they the cause of all this, you know? And they're looking at that big crater in the ground and stuff. And I liked, I think there was some dialogue option leading up to that dialogue option. Here I go with like MZ, it's not a video game, but you know what I mean? Like, it was a dialogue that happened between them. And I can't remember exactly what was said, but there was something where she was like, so you do this and this, and you think this, and that makes sense why? Or, and they're like questioning it. They're just bringing up those kind of questions. And I liked that this episode, even though it was a little bit more slow moving, I liked that it kind of was delving and asking deeper questions and making the viewer kind of go along in that journey with them. I also liked the random, like the fiends thrown in there, like, cause they hadn't really mentioned that before. Yeah. They hadn't talked about like that aspect of like that exists. So giving that kind of like, here's your 2 seconds of this. It didn't feel shoehorned. It felt purposeful. It felt like it was done well in that kind of like in passing and that how it would be if that was a real, you know, interaction. Yeah, I liked that part, but it wasn't my least favorite episode. I know that's your take.
Well, it's not that I didn't like the episode. It's just my least favorite. It still is good. And I do love that whole fiend scene and how Lucy wants to be just and like, why not we just do it this way? But Maximus knows like you can't up here. Like you can't, you cannot trust people. You can't. And even the fiends, they can't trust. No one can trust anybody. And that was very much like, no matter how much you believe that you can, that people can be good, no matter how much you believe Lucy, that nothing bad's going to happen, that you can talk your way out of this and people can like relate to what you're saying and understand you and be like, oh, you know what? Talk down. It's not going to happen sometimes. You got to have your guard up at all times.
Yeah.
He just can't grasp that. And then that was a moment where it was like, hold yourself. Like, and then I think she kind of like was, okay, there's things I still need to learn. I'm still a work in progress. Your least favorite episode was what, Jess? What was your least favorite episode?
My least favorite episode was the next one, 6. That was my least favorite. From a film aspect, from playing the games, a lot of the scenes and things felt unnecessary and shoehorned in for one shock value, which I get from like a cinematic perspective. I get why some of the things were in there. But as far as it didn't feel like it matched the game, because the game isn't like that. And right. even in the aspects, like, for instance, the whole cultist scene, or they're not cultists, but in the game, there are cultists who act like that and do that kind of stuff. But it wasn't that extreme with, like, the nudity and stuff. And I know that doesn't bother some people, but for, like, me personally as a viewer, I was like, oh, that was much. I don't want to see that. I know the purpose of it was to make you feel like she was feeling in the moment. The purpose from a film perspective was, like, what is going on? And because from a writing perspective, you've already done the, like, crazy gore. You've already done, like, the mystery of, like, what's going on, what is, you know, what's going on, that aspect of the shock value for the viewer to feel like Lucy's feeling in the moment. So, yeah, I know why they started doing that whole thing. But even the cultists in the games and stuff, it wasn't like that. It was, there was other ways you could have done it and still probably maybe gotten the same reaction. I don't know. For me, it just didn't feel very Fallout. It felt kind of weird. That whole part in there, though, it has really important nuggets of, like, plot, like, defining and pushing the plot forward, moments that are important to the viewer, felt kind of weird and disjointed and unnecessary. There were some good humor parts, but it just didn't feel like it matched exactly everything else that had been going on so far, and the whole Fallout vibe as much. Maybe that's just me, but, like, for me, I was just kind of like, that kind of took me out of it a little bit. I was like, and in episode 6 too, because usually shows have all of that kind of stuff towards the beginning of the show to grab in the viewers, you know, and stuff, and the shock value stuff. And then it kind of tapers off as the show goes on. And that was kind of just like, bam, right there in the middle, which I guess if you're trying to do, like, a, give a spike of interest or something in the middle of your show, there you go. But for me as a viewer, like, because that's not really a part of, like, Fallout as much. Like, I don't think there's even naked people in Fallout.
There's,
like,
no ever. Nudity in Fallout.
Yeah, there's no nudity in Fallout. So that was kind of strange. I think you could have gone and done something weird without all that in your faceness. But again, that's just my personal take. One thing I did appreciate was, I know how we touched on in the previous episode, how we really felt like the characters were NPCs and they had dialogue options, were making choices the whole time. There was an important part in that episode that felt that way, where she's sitting at the desk with the guy, I forget his name, with the one eye.
And she says, all down to.
Yeah. She says something completely, like, almost like she didn't have enough charisma. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, she didn't have enough charm to, like, she didn't pick the right dialogue option. She just said something and it was the wrong answer. And you got that kind of weird, abrupt response that kind of felt out of place that you would have got from an NPC, right? Like if you made the wrong, and they were kind of like, get out of here, what are you doing, kind of thing. You know, that kind of dialogue started happening. And when he tells her, like, to get out of the room and stuff, I was like, okay, that's cute. Like,
yeah,
did it feel strange in the moment as a regular viewer? Probably. Yeah, you're like, wait, what did she say? Well, that was so weird for that response. But it was kind of a nod to, like, that kind of, you know, your dialogue choices and, like, not having enough charm or something in the moment to be able to make the right choice. So I thought that was kind of cute and funny way of doing that. Of course, he's a very famous actor and voice actor who played that role. Yeah. And that was fun to get to see that. And I liked the humor in that episode. I don't think it was a horrible episode. I think it was just my least favorite one, just because it felt the most out of place in the universe and in the games, in contrast to me. That was probably my least favorite so far. I don't know. Hot take maybe, but that was mine.
I liked episode 6, but I do know what you're saying about that scene with the cult like people and taking their, like, tops off. Because it just, if, like I was saying to Jess, if this was like a cyberpunk show, you'd be like, oh yeah, there's cyberpunk. It would be like, kind of like, okay, that's cyberpunk, but this is not Fallout at all. They don't show anything like that in Fallout.
Well, and another thing that you're saying too, that I'm thinking of as you're saying this, is that the cultists are their own thing entirely. And as the episode goes on, they're not cultists. Like, this whole thing is its own thing that they kind of made up for the show. And I don't think was necessary. I think you could have literally had cultists in the wasteland or something as a different whole interaction. And it probably would have felt more like it belonged. I think why it felt so weird is because the whole point of them is they're, like, mutants or whatever that have been experimented on, you know, and, like, they were victims and, like, now they're their own vault and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting enough storyline. I don't think it needed to do the cultist thing. Felt like it didn't belong in there, because then all of a sudden they weren't culty. You know, it just kind of went from, like, oh, we're crazy to, like, oh, we're kind of normal. And you're like, yeah. What are you? What is this? Like, there's already a cultist faction. You could have just done the cultist, and maybe they plan on it. Maybe there's some segue that we don't know about, but yeah, it just felt a little like disjointed. I don't know.
It did. And the fact that they were like worshiping, what do they call her? The flame? What do they call
flame
her?
Mother flame mother or something mother? Like that.
Yeah, it's like that. Worshiping her, and then it's like, well, why do you need like what? I don't understand what
taking off the clothes and drinking the blood. Why are we worshiping her?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if they used to live on like her commune, and then for some reason they're there now, and they're doing these experiments, or like they stopped experiments. Yeah, it just seemed like that scene. But then there's something I appreciated about that scene a lot. Because when I was watching it and Lucy starts to unzip, I was like, no, 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 don't you dare. Don't you dare, Lucy. And then she doesn't. I was like, this scene really showed her character. Yeah. And that she won't, no matter, even if she believes in like the vaults and everything, she's not going to just conform to whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. And she does
that,
have
yeah, that is a good way of showing that.
Mm-hmm. She still has her morals, and she still has like an innocence to her, and they're gonna try to keep it a little bit in that way. Mm-hmm. And it shows that she's smart. She's not just like some blind follower and like culty type vault dweller. And it's kind of like foreshadowing to how she kind of turns on her dad. She's not just gonna do whatever the vault says anymore. She's learning. So she's like, no, I'm not gonna just conform. And it's kind of, but I don't know. So they could have done that, I guess, in a different way, not just like, oh. You know what I mean? I guess the reason why I like that episode, there's a few reasons why, but I do agree with you on that. But I love the opening of that episode, the opening scene, and Cooper Howard.
I believe it's Cooper.
Sorry guys, if we're getting it wrong, but
we just call him the ghoul all the time. Sorry. Yeah,
Walton Goggins is, I love that whole opening, the commercial for the vault. I was like, this is so exciting. That was maybe one of my favorite scenes in the show, was that opening. And I loved seeing Matt Berry there, the voice of the Mr. Handy, and how they were friends. And that whole scene was awesome. And they had some of my favorite quotes of the show, which was, the end of the world is a product. And I feel like they use that now. I think they sell... I don't know how political I want to get on here, but I told you
it is a social commentary. I told you, I said this in the first episode, get ready.
But definitely the end of the world is a product. Fear mongering of all sorts is a product, and they will market the hell out of fear out of people. They will use the companies and the whatever use people's fear to sell things. And that
I would say all I will say to this is, be wary. If there's money to be made in something, just think twice about what's real and what's not. Because if there's money to be made in any of anything in the world, it's probably corrupt. So just be on your guard. Yep.
And everything will be passed out as your in your best interest and for your own good. But if it's everywhere, and if it's all over social media, if there's ads popping up on your Instagram page saying things, that's called modern propaganda. Propaganda. And people just can't. And then it's like, and the people will just, it's like everyone has like forgotten. Brainwashed.
That's just so funny to me, is like, we watch all these shows, we play all these video games, and watch all these movies, and we can point it out all day long. We're like, that's wrong, and that's creepy, and that's blah, blah, blah. And it happens in real life every single day. And we're just like, no, that's normal. No, that's propaganda. Like, that's the same thing. Like, it's literally the same thing. Have you not played any video game ever and watched any movie ever? It's always the bad guy. Like, it's always that way. Like, just, it's easy to see, like, you know, whatever, but.
That's just us being Lucy, keeping your thing zipped up, where we're like, nah, I'm not going to fall for this. I'm not going to do.
I don't trust you.
Not me. But also, that same conversation had one of my other favorite lines in the whole show, which is, radicalism is sweeping through Hollywood. And again,
social commentary.
And it is everything, the radicalism and the commentary is shoehorned into everything. And it's so obvious and so apparent to the point where it seems disingenuous. It's like pandering to the point of like being patronizing, where it's like, we're Hollywood, we're checking off all these boxes, you know, we got to check off the boxes. And it's not even sincere. So that's why it bothers me. And I loved that quote. Then my next thing was, the corporations are in charge and in control of everything. And that's just like real life, man. And they show this in this episode. This episode was so relatable to the world right now, but that's why I think I liked it so much.
Well, one episode to that same thing, I think it's the final episode. If it's not, it's episode 7, like right before it, where they're all sitting at the table discussing how they would do their vaults.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is the world. This is all the companies. It's like,
this is the World Economic Forum.
But at the same time, as a Fallout player, I was nerding out because I'm reading all their tags and I know all these places and all the games and stuff. And I was like,
yes.
It's like, oh, it's this one and that one. Which also makes you, as a fan of the franchise, you're like, okay, they're going to dive into these a little bit more in future storylines. So it made me excited on that front. But also from a social commentary thing, I literally was sitting there like this at the same time. I was like, everyone needs to be paying attention to this because it's so true. Yep. Like, no one has your best interests. I said, well, there's money to be made or something to be gained, power or money, and be cautious. And, like, don't trust them. And it's clearly because all of them to their own vaults or whatever are going to be like, oh, yes, this is the way we do things. This is a good way of life, which is what the vault dwellers were in for forever, X amount of 200 some years. And it's your best interest. So is it? Like, you know, it's not reality. And reality is very different. And I think we get caught up in our own, like, versions of, like, what our worldview is and how things should be and how we think it should be, just like every one of these little factions and companies think it should be. And it's not necessarily the big picture. That's not necessarily the whole truth. That's not reality. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a lot that can, like, in this show, it's like an onion, as I was saying. Like, there's a lot you can just go into and look at and be like, you're not wrong, because even watching it, you can look at these things and be like, okay, well, that's like this, and that's like point of view, and this is this point of view, and I know who this person is in my life, you know what I mean? Like, it's really interesting, especially if you're coming into the show thinking a little deeper. Now, it's very much enjoyable just as a show,
yes,
and not even going into all that, but it has some good points.
So when they're sitting at the table, Cooper and his wife, when they're sitting at the table, and then he's like, who said dogs aren't allowed? Who?
Oh, yeah.
Who's calling the shots? I was like, yeah. What about freedom? What about, like, you don't tell me what to do? Who's in charge? Who's running this stuff? But then she's like, listen, if there's anything that I can do for my daughter to be safe, I'm going to do it. And I was like, yeah. I mean, I get that side too. Like, I do get that side. But then he finds out. She's like, we'll drop the bombs. I'm like, this is the world. This is the world. This is what's true. And I love how it's like, everyone's calling each other communist. Everyone's saying you're a conspiracy theorist. Everyone's questioning freedom. And I'm like, this is today. The name calling. But then you're like, well, which ones are the communists? Which ones are the conspiracy theorists? And that's just like, or who's right, who's wrong? Oh, man, I love that episode. I think the line was like,
communists are just things that they call you, people who aren't crazy,
yes,
or something like that. And I was like, oh, like, we're going there. Okay, we're going there. Like, I was like, yeah, it was it's a lot. Like, it's a very layered show, because, like, you can take that literally as what they're saying, or you could be like, oh, that could be applied a lot of different ways in real life. You know, this is what they call you just because you're not, you know, they think you're crazy or something, or those who aren't crazy. And I was like, dang. Yeah, it is. It's a bunch of name calling and stuff. And it's like, again, not reality. It's like, it's the amount of people who just can't see things for what they are is astounding sometimes. Which I like about this show, because it's like, it's cool to see, like, the people I think you root for the most in the show are the people who start seeing things from a zoomed out perspective or already have. And so I'm like, see, this is the people you're rooting for. Be like them, people. Like, IRL. Like, come on.
Yeah. Like, question things. Don't trust things. Zoom
don't
out.
Don't trust them. Zoom out. You might be living in a vault.
You might be living in a vault. Okay, so I'm going to move to episode 7, the opening with the NCR veteran ranger armor people. I lost it, because I'm like, New Vegas. I was like, yes. I just when I saw that armor, I was like, I'm done. Like, I already want to cry. Everything, this episode had so many nuggets of nostalgia for fall. I was waiting to see a Red Rocket station. Like, I was so waiting to see the Red Rocket, and then we see it, and everything from the rust on the cars are perfect. When he calls the dog meat, I was like, I'm done.
I knew you would lose it. I knew.
And then they go to the radio station, and the sign on the radio station, I'm like, that looks like the sign for the Tops in Fallout New Vegas. Like, that's the sign. That's how the sign looks for the casino, the Tops. And I'm like, they were hinting this whole season. There's a couple other things I loved. I love when he's shooting, when Thaddeus is shooting, and he's like, God, I suck without a scope. I thought that was so hilarious, because just like the
Horrible
gamers
bats.
there.
Yeah, it's like the horrible bats thing, and like you can't
Horrible.
shoot and you're just like missing everything even though you're batsing. It's like everything.
I
It's just,
know.
I like the humor poking fun at itself. Like,
Yeah.
we for like, ah, that's such a lost art anymore, is laughing at yourself. Like, just laugh at yourself. And the amount of like little things in here that, again, probably the average viewer is not going to get, but from a Fallout game player, you pick up on all these things and you're like, they're laughing at themselves, like the jetpack arms. Like, yeah, the game sucked. It was screwy. People ripped us off a bunch of money and stuff, and we're able to do all this stuff and break our game. Ha ha, it's funny. Like, we can laugh. Like, it's so good. Like, I appreciated the poke fun at yourself humor in this show, like, a lot.
When, oh, I loved this so much. Maybe one of my most favorite on-screen kisses ever was when Lucy and Maximus kiss, and they leaned the F into the cheesiness. They leaned into it. They were like, we know this is cheesy, and we're gonna make it way cheesier with the song hitting and the heads kissing. I was like, they
It
took
was
something they knew
funny.
was corny. It was so fun. They knew it was gonna be corny and cheesy, and they're like, let's amp it up. Let's amp up the
Yep.
corniness and cheesiness. And I loved that. I loved
It
it.
was
And I
cute.
love
I
that they
liked
kiss.
it.
I love that they kiss. I'm like, good. You know what? From the get-go, when I do this, when I'm watching movies and TV shows, and there's like two characters that like come together and they're looking at each other, I'll just go, kiss, kiss. And I'm like all for the romance. So I was saying kiss to them like so many
Just
times. And they did.
do it.
Yeah. Let's get into the finale. Why we like, is that your favorite episode? The last
Yeah,
episode?
yes, the episode. I think the first episode
Me
and the
too.
last episode are my favorites.
Good.
The bookends, the beginning and the
Yeah, the
end.
bookends. I was gonna say the
And
bookends, Jess.
I love that they were titled the opposite. Like, the end was the beginning, and the beginning was the end, and it was
Yes.
that way. It's again so smart. It was just a
I know.
really clever. You can really tell they thought this through writing wise. Like, they really planned this out well. Like, you better put the same amount of effort into season two, Amazon, please.
Well, I think they're gonna have to put even more effort in, because what they're getting into is huge for the Fallout
Yep.
community. I mean, it's huge. Okay, I just have to say, the AI or CG, whatever it was, on Lucy's dad when he was young, looked so good. I was basically thinking in my head, because if it's AI, I was saying, well, like, well, they're not going to need actors anymore, and this is basically showing us the end of the world right here. Like this scene right here, like it's the end of times, man. Because like the
It's
actors aren't
over.
going to be needed. It's over. This is like this is
Pack
what
it
the
up.
show's about.
Your talents are not required.
When he drops the war never changes line,
Line.
how did you feel about that?
I was waiting for it. I've been waiting for it the whole show. I was like, where's the line? And there's a war never changed. I was like,
I was like,
if I had a
yes. I was
credit card, I was doing that whole like on the table, take my money. Take it. I
yeah.
need another one. Oh, it's like,
I
no,
was just,
it's a meme that the Leonardo DiCaprio where he's like,
yes.
he said the thing. Yeah, that was me.
I loved the scene when she has to choose between, I'm gonna pronounce her name wrong, but the Flame Mother. For I will not know how to pronounce her name.
Moldaver. Lee Moldaver. Lee. It's
Okay,
easier to say.
hold
Lee.
it, Moldaver. Well, when she has to pick between her and the good for like humanity, and pick between her family, her dad, I was like, this is a Fallout quest. This is exactly
Yes.
what you do in the
Life's
game. You
tricky
have to
little
choose.
like choices or whatever she said. It's so good. It was like a pre one of the little nuggets that drop in the early things.
It was, and like they had, you have to choose a lot of times in Fallout games that you have to choose between the good of humanity and what your heart is saying and what you know. And it's just like, do you pick for selfish reasons, or do you go for like the good of all mankind? And I loved the fact that it was like the cold fusion, and it was to power up places, because there's an exact quest in Fallout New Vegas where you have to choose where to put power. Do you give it to the NCR? Do you give it to like, I forget, I don't know if it's the Brotherhood or no, a camp or whatever, or do you give it to Vegas, or do you distribute it throughout the wasteland? And you have to choose what you want. And I was like, this is what happens in Fallout New Vegas. You have to choose where the power goes. And it depends on what character you want to play too. Are you going to be the villain? Are you going to be like selfish? Or what's your self-interest? Are you going to be like a justice like person who like a good person? And I thought that was so smart. And I love that they made like that Moldaver woman like actually like the good guy, because you don't know at all. And then that whole cult thing was, I don't know if that was to throw you off at like
I don't
thinking she's so
know.
bad.
I still don't know about that because again, it felt very shoehorned in. And then in contrast to the ending, it never really felt like it wasn't. It still felt shoehorned in. So I don't know if it's going to make more sense later
I
and
think so. I hope
in
so.
other seasons. But like, again, to me, going back to it, I felt like that was a cultist thing and that was another thing. And they could have just separated those, but maybe they have a reason for it that I just don't know yet. And so I'm just waiting to see on that front.
Okay, so Jess, the biggest thing ever, and what makes this at last episode in this season and their series, and especially this last episode, what makes it my most favorite thing I've ever seen in my life, more, and it meant more to me than anything I've ever watched in my life. Now, let me tell you, there's a lot of movies out there that really touch my heart and my soul, and I feel it deep within. But when you see New Vegas at the end, I cried. I watched that ending like 4 or 5 times. I watched it again today. I would rewind it to that part and just rewatch it. I'm like, that's Vegas, right? Like, that's it, right? You see that Deathclaw skull, and I'm like, oh, I got so excited because the whole color palette changed, and I was like, wait a minute, these are these warm tones. Fallout doesn't usually have like, well, it has a little bit in 76, but Fallout in Vegas is like this gold, warm,
Warm
cozy
sky,
tone. And I was like, okay. And then you see the Deathclaw skull, and I'm like, I'm listening. And then you see New Vegas, and I'm like, I lost it, Jess.
Yep.
Lost it.
Every and again, I probably wasted on me because I never played New Vegas, but I knew what it was I was looking at. And every message board I've seen, I saw grown men were like, we stood up and all we all started cheering on the couch. And I'm like, yeah, that's everyone's reaction. I even knew what I was looking at and didn't really appreciate it as like you would or people who are huge fans of New Vegas. But I literally sat there on my bed couch thing and I was like, oh, like out loud. I
There
was like,
it is.
okay, there it is. I was like, all right. And so that's why I had questions of why people were saying New Vegas wasn't canon, because it was right there. So I don't know if they were just, I think what they're doing, because again, I don't know. Again, that's why I asked you, because I didn't know the story and stuff as much. But I think they're just right. That's just one of those changes that they're writing in and trying to make everything a one story thing, that some things had to be changed. And people, the fans are just gonna have to get over it. Like, it's like not everything could go perfectly, I think, together if they wanted to do something and then make certain creative decisions certain ways. I think it comes down to a timeline thing that they wanted. They especially from what I'm gathering, I think it has something to do with the Brotherhood of Steel is why people have issue, that it makes something not canon or it didn't happen this way. And again, I'm not really smart and all that, but again. Does it really matter if like whatever they're going to do is just as good? You know what I mean? If like if it fits in with the world, if it's just as interesting, or if it does a better, more cohesive version and brings everything together a little better. Because I didn't play it, but from your perspective, what you said earlier in episode one, you mentioned that to you, New Vegas was like almost like a side project thing that was it was a Fallout universe, but it was almost like a game to the side that was its own entity. And if they're trying to really integrate all these together, does that really matter so much? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's why people are complaining. So Fallout New Vegas is by a different company, not Bethesda, it's by Obsidian. Todd Howard didn't direct it. He has nothing to do with it, but what people are saying is that there's a timeline difference with like the Brotherhood of Steel and the NCR, and also when the Battle of Hoover Dam happened, like all this stuff. There's like all this lore, and they're saying the times are all screwed up, and they're mad at Todd, saying that he's being like
Okay.
he's retconning it. He's retconning
Retconning.
New Vegas because he's being like bitter about New Vegas and trying to.
And
And I'm looking at
Obsidian.
it, yeah, and I'm looking at it totally different because I'm thinking he could have totally 100% excluded.
Ignored it.
It totally ignored the existence of Fallout New Vegas, especially knowing how it's a fan favorite and he had nothing to do with it and he's a producer of the show. He could have been bitter AF and just been like, we're not putting New Vegas in there because people like, no.
Well, yeah,
He was like,
clearly.
yeah, well, he's like, no, I'm going to put New Vegas in. And not only am I going to put New Vegas in, I'm going to hint at it all season and I'm going to have that as the final reveal. The most important shot of this season is going to be the last shot. And it was New Vegas. Like, to me, that's huge. I thought good for him, and I thought that was commendable
I think it
AF as
says
him.
all
I don't
signs
care.
point to next season's very heavily going to be New Vegas. Like, I think they're going to bring in all that world into it. I think that's why that's the last shot of the season. I think they're like,
Oh my
here's
God.
what's coming.
Oh my
Get
God.
ready. And
Goosebumps.
then making all of the fan base just freak out, you know, because they know it's such a big deal. And I think, if nothing else, I do appreciate Todd for this because he's very obviously self-aware. The whole show, he was self-aware and like putting in jokes, poking fun at himself, at the bugs and things in his games, but also like the way he's very self-aware of how the gameplay, integrating that into the show, making sure everything felt like Fallout for the most part. And then also, like you said, with the New Vegas stuff, he could have left out entirely. He's self-aware, like how important that is to his Fallout fans and to like the fan base in general, and is willing to like, okay, let's bring this to life. At least heavily hinting they're going to bring it into next season.
They
So
have to.
I think that's a very bold and smart move on his part, and very honoring of all the source material as a whole and of his fan base.
I know there's like a ton of lore for this franchise. Like a ton of lore, and they want everything to be like the fans want everything to be like real and legit, and but the show has to mix it up a little bit. Otherwise it's like just go play the video games then. Like it has to be a little bit different. Like
They
gotta
gotta at
switch it up.
least give some depth or some backgrounds and change ups, add some more characters, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, change up something, and you know maybe some timelines don't match up. But I just kind of forgave everything just because of how perfect everything else was visually and like audibly, and everything was just so spot on that I was thinking about it as Fallout, a show about the video games, but I was separating the two as their own entities in a way. In a sense, so I can like forgive any of the lore mix-ups that people are claiming there is. I'm like, it's okay. I can forget.
For me, the appreciation, the immense appreciation and just gratitude I have for the creators who made all the choices to be so detail oriented, like you were saying, with the audio down to like the pictures, down to the costume, the set design, the cinematography.
Oh my God.
Just all the choices that were made were so good. Even the choices they made to add in were so honoring of the source material and just gave it depth and gave it more life and more interest. I don't think it was taking away from anything in any sort of way. I think it only added to the experience. Like I said, everyone so far that I've watched it with hasn't been a video game player. So it's very interesting to watch it with them because they're not noticing as much as I'm noticing, and I don't even know all the lore that some people would notice, but like they're not noticing all the visual stuff that I'm noticing because I played the game, games, and they're enjoying it from just a story perspective. And my brother was saying, you know, I was shocked at how well and smartly written it was, because anymore a lot of shows are really dumbed down, or they're just stupid, or they have dumb throwaway episodes, filler episodes, boring areas, plot holes, things that just don't make sense, that it's butchered on the editing floor. Like, it might have made sense. You find that a lot, and even in shows nowadays. So like Josiah, my brother, he was like super appreciative of like, and he didn't play all the games, but he was like, from a writing perspective, because he works in script writing and stuff, he was like, it was very smartly written. It was, the pacing was good. Like, it kept your interest. It was every storyline you cared. You liked every storyline in different ways for different reasons, and they all had their own interests. You weren't, a lot of times when they do those kind of things and they do different storylines, you're like, oh, now we got to go watch this storyline, and I don't care about these people or this plot. And now get away from this plot. I want to go back to this one. I had a least favorite one, but even with, that's my least favorite character. But even so, I find myself, because of the ending, I am now intrigued. Now I'm like, there is a mystery there that I want answered, because like for me, I know most people's favorite character is the ghoul. I think he did, like, he carried the most water in this show, I think, because his character has the most depth already out the gate, because he had to play all that past stuff and the future and be all of them in one season. So I think that one, naturally people, they like the character, but I think because it already was so well rounded out, they had more to go off of on that character and more to glean off of than some of these that you're watching them develop, you know, I think as seasons go on, and you're gonna appreciate more later. Norm was my favorite. The brother, because one, I'm a sucker for the mystery part of shows. Like, I want to know the answers. I want to know the hidden secrets of things. And so I like that aspect of the show. I want to see his character arc. I'm looking forward to that the most. My least favorite out of all of them was actually Maximus.
Same.
But by the end, there's enough questions of like, okay, what is he in this for? Like, who is he really? Like, what are his intentions? That there's depth there that people, I think, on the front end of the show wrote off as like bad acting or something. And I was like, nah. In the first episode, when he snaps on the toilet, you know, and freaks out, I'm like, from an acting perspective, like just an acting perspective, I was like, this guy has chops. Like, this guy has range, because he's going from this awkward, like, mousy kind of, you almost couldn't tell if he was a bad actor or like the character was supposed to be that way. You know, you were
yeah,
like,
I know what you mean.
It was kind of like a little bit awkward, and you were like, was this early in the shooting? Because sometimes when things are early in the shooting of a show, like, they're not as comfortable with each other, and they're until they get the kind of the chemistry going, and then they kind of warm up on the camera and stuff, and it's noticeable on film. That happens a lot in shows. But then as it was going, and I saw that range right there, I was like, okay, no, this is intentional, and there's something here. And there's that other layer, and then you're watching as it go on. And I think that's just it. I think some of the characters, the reasons that they did it very well, that they're like the ghoul and stuff, that they're favorites, is because there's more there to digest from the beginning. It's kind of like wrapped up in a bow, like, okay, this character, you got to see where he came from, you know, how he got there, the whole thing. And the
you didn't
of
get
them,
that really
of,
with
yes
Maximus,
you're
especially
watching them, you're watching the progression of their character arc in real time and their own storylines in real time. So those you have to keep watching and investing in to kind of see, not so much him, but you still like, it's still likable. Like, you still like him. I think that's pretty much everyone's, I've talked to anyway, their favorite out of all of them. But for me, it was actually Norm. I just liked the different approach. Like, I think we talked about last episode. I like that she's kind of like the strength and the different character build, you know, than he is. And then they kind of visually showed that, because, you know, you could build your avatar kind of like thing or whatever, and your vault dweller, and he's kind of like the more small mousy, like, perception and luck kind of build,
science.
She's more,
yeah, he's got yeah, like the science,
science, yeah, yeah, the hacking in
yes
it.
I love that. Yeah, he's kind of like, also, he was like a little, in the first episode, you're like, this is a little underdog guy. Like, you're like, oh, he's just like the little nerdy. He's not, maybe he's not going to get very much attention. And like, but then there's, he has like the most, well, I mean, the ghoul aside, he has like the most edge in this show, and bravery. Like, he has like the most, the whole thing about the, they were talking, that whole conversation about courage and everything in the vault. And like, we have no courage because we're down here. He's like, nah. He's the most courageous vault dweller that there is. I mean, Lucy is too, but she has more of a happy-go-lucky, like, everything's going to be okay. And he's like, no, I know everything's not okay, and I'm going to find out why. And he has like a whole other edge to him. I love Norm too. Norm was probably maybe my favorite character too, but also I love the ghoul, but I like pre-war. I love Cooper. I love him when he's the actor, and I love his whole back. I love his whole backstory. And I love in episode 6 showing his whole like famous life and backstory so much. I loved him. But I like him better than as the ghoul. Even though I love him as a ghoul, I like him better then. And I don't know why, I just do. My least favorite also was Maximus. But then he kind of, when you really get to see his innocence and how naive he is. When they're in the vault and they're talking about like intimacy, and then he's seeing everything, like when you see him just like watching the waterfall and eating the food, and he's just like, haha, and he's just like finally in that creature, he's in that comfort zone,
comfort,
finally.
Yeah.
And it's like he has that innocence to him, but then he can man up when he needs to, like, you know, get up and like protect. So he's almost like this like simpleton. Like, he's kind of like very like simple, and so is Lucy in a way. And they're both kind of like these naive, innocent characters in their own ways, but then she has more smarts than he does and more logic, and he has more like
strength,
brutality, like, strength, power. So
yeah, I think there's a lot to be seen when it comes to, because I think the show, because Lucy is the main character pretty much, focusing on her, at least following her journey through as it goes into the other storylines and meets up with her is kind of like what they're doing, like the common thread or whatever. And I think with her, you got to see a little bit more of that growth because of she is the common thread. With Maximus, I like that there's still a lot of questions that you're like, okay, is he trying to take down the Brotherhood of Steel from the inside? Is he actually wanting to be Brotherhood of Steel? Is he stuck now? Like, is he happy about it? And you don't really know. And it's still that same kind of like you were at the beginning where you're not, I like that gray area character.
Me too.
That's kind of a wild card thrown in there. I think there's a lot of interesting ways they're going to go with everything. I don't think there's a higher thing that I want to say about Fallout is just a big thank you to Amazon, to the director, to Todd, and everyone involved in it for honoring the source material the way you did. Because that's what I said, every other the streaming service platform, if you ever think about making any kind of video game thing, take notes. Fallout is the standard now. You have to beat that. You have to do that or better. And take notes, because they were A+, spot on.
It was, they did it, they pull it off. Everything was so well thought out and deliberate and purposeful, and everything, the amount of times I got chills, goosebumps, cried, and got excited about everything.
Oh yeah.
It was just like this passion project for the people writing it, you can tell, and for the fans. They really thought about the fans, restored my faith in video game adaptations, restored my faith in like TV shows in general, Amazon, everything, all these big
corporations. I think everyone's going to be more open to it too now in the future, because this one was so good. People be like, oh, but they X, Y, and Z has been so bad. Yeah, but this one was so good. Now there's hope that the other ones can be good too, you know? So
it set the bar.
Yeah, it set the bar. I hope everybody, Netflix, Hulu, Disney, all y'all people, take notes, because they just did it, and you have to do that or better. And the reason it was good, the reason it was successful, wasn't necessarily who you hired to act in it, you know, who your director was. It was you took a source material and you made it real life, and you did it with respect, and you did it with honor, and then you made it better. Nothing that you added to it contradicted. It just enriched the whole thing. That new standard has been set. You got to pass that now to do better with fan base, because that's what the that's why it's doing so well, is because the fans are pleased, because you respected your fans.
Yes, you felt the respect. I never once felt disrespected. I would give that show 9.75 out of 10, and the 0.25% I'm taking away is for the music when the ghoul
music
comes.
And
that's the only thing for me.
Too many naked women in one episode for me, but that, I mean, other people probably didn't complain about that, just me, you know.
But what do you guys think? Did you guys enjoy Fallout? What are your complaints? What did you see that you love so much? What made you happy? Did the New Vegas thing make you excited? Did you look at any Easter eggs
that we didn't notice? Yes! Please tell them. Easter list eggs. Those below. I want to see everyone's Easter eggs, because I haven't been watching anybody's takes on anything, or all the Easter eggs you missed in blah, blah, blah. I haven't watched them. So leave them in the comments, because I definitely want to read them.
Thank you for watching this episode of Replays It All with Jess and I talking about the Fallout show. And we have loved it so much. We feel so good about it. You can find more of our content on our YouTube channel, Not a Strong Start. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter, Not a Strong Start. You can listen to us anywhere you listen to your podcast. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff down below. Push the buttons. And you can find me on Instagram at Replays It All. Never stop playing, and companies making these shows never stop respecting the fans and paying homage perfectly and being passionate to the game franchise. Please.
Exactly.
It can happen. It can work. You can do it. This is proof.
We believe in you. Again, thanks to Fallout and Amazon.
Thank you. Thank you, Amazon.
Todd Howard. In Todd Howard, we trust.
In Todd, we trust.
Todd, we trust.